When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Black Monk, Terror on East Drive. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to a place of quiet historical charm, a market town steeped in centuries of English heritage. We are heading to Pontefract, West Yorkshire, England, specifically to a modest council house at 30 East Drive in the year 1966. Here, in a home intended as a haven of peace and normalcy for a working-class family, an invisible horror would awaken, transforming their lives into a living hell, a brutal siege by an entity so malevolent that it would leave behind a legacy of terror and an enduring debate. Was it a ghost, or something far more sinister? Our story focuses on the Pritchard family, Joe and Jean and their two children, Philip and their youngest daughter Diane, who was around 12 or 13 years old at the time. They were an ordinary, respectable family, enjoying the simple comforts of their home. Their house, 30 East Drive, was a typical red brick council house built on the grounds of what was once Pontefract Priory, a historical site with a past entwined with a darker history, dating back to the time of Henry VIII, when the priory was dissolved. And it's said that some monks were executed on the grounds, a chilling detail that would only gain terrifying significance later. The first signs of the haunting emerged subtly, almost tentatively, in the summer of 1966. It began with inexplicable noises. Faint knocking sounds would emanate from the walls, sometimes a muffled scratching or a rhythmic thud from upstairs when no one was there. John Pritchard initially dismissed them as drafts, old house noises, or pipes settling. Then came inexplicable cold drafts, even on warm days, seeming to move through rooms with an unseen purpose. Objects would inexplicably go missing, only to reappear in odd places. These were the classic hallmarks of a poltergeist, often dismissed as harmless trickery or subconscious psychokinesis. But this was merely the prelude to a far more terrifying onslaught. The phenomena rapidly escalated in intensity and malevolence. What began as nuisances quickly turned into a terrifying siege. Objects began to fly with destructive force. Ornaments would shatter against walls. Small toys would be hurled from shelves, and heavy pieces of furniture would inexplicably tip over as if shoved by an invisible hand. The family witnessed these events firsthand, their initial skepticism crumbling into outright fear. The air in the house would frequently fill with a sickening, pervasive stench, sometimes acrid, like sulfur or burning chemicals, other times cloyingly sweet, like decaying meat, or oddly, a freshly dug grave. These odors would appear and vanish without source or explanation, a chilling sensory assault. The entity seemed to delight in tormenting the Pritchard family, focusing its malice particularly on young Diane. She would be slapped, pinched, and even bitten by unseen forces, leaving visible red marks and bruising on her skin. Her hair would be violently pulled, forcing her to shriek in pain. The psychological toll on the family was immense. Sleep deprivation, constant fear, and the profound trauma of living under perpetual siege. They were constantly on edge, their home no longer a sanctuary, but a battleground. Then, the haunting took a terrifying leap into outright physical violence that shocked even hardened investigators. One evening, the family was in the living room when Diane was suddenly, inexplicably, seized by an unseen force. To her utter terror and the horrified disbelief of her family, she was dragged upstairs by invisible hands. Her screams filled the house as her body was pulled, struggling up the staircase, scraping against the steps. It was a visceral, undeniable display of incredible power. A physical assault by an entity that couldn't be seen, but could certainly touch and inflict profound terror. Other family members, including Joe, were subjected to pushes, shoves, and even attempts to trip them down the stairs. The unseen presence would also manifest audibly, with disembodied footsteps thundering through empty rooms, chilling growls and strange guttural noises. The Pritchard family, desperate and terrified, sought help from every available avenue. They contacted the local police, who, despite witnessing some minor disturbances themselves, were ultimately baffled, unable to find any rational explanation for the phenomena. They turned to local clergy, but the traditional blessings and prayers seemed to have little effect, often only serving to enrage the unseen entity, making its attacks more violent. The family eventually reached out to paranormal investigators who, after prolonged study, became convinced they were dealing with something profoundly malevolent. The entity became known as the Black Monk of Pontefract, a name derived from its perceived identity and location. Local history revealed that the Pritchard's house was built on what was once the site of a 12th century Cluniac priory, dissolved during the reign of Henry VIII. It was also said that a Cluniac monk was hanged there for the rape and murder of a young girl. This historical detail provided a chilling backstory for the entity, suggesting it was the tormented spirit of this executed monk, consumed by vengeance and misery, now returning to haunt the very ground of its demise. However, the extreme violence, the persistent malice, and the sheer destructive power displayed by the entity led some investigators and demonologists to a far more chilling conclusion. This was no mere ghost, no residual haunting, and certainly no simple poltergeist. They argued that the sustained, intelligent, and malicious nature of the phenomena, particularly its focus on physical harm and its oppressive presence, indicated something far more sinister, a malevolent, demonic presence. They theorized that the historical negativity of the site, perhaps the brutal executions, and the deep suffering of the monks during the dissolution of the priory, had created a spiritual void or portal that attracted something truly evil, an entity that merely mimicked a human spirit to conceal its true demonic nature. The Black Monk of Pontefract case quickly garnered significant national attention in Britain, becoming one of the most famous and widely documented hauntings of the 20th century. Newspapers ran sensational headlines, and paranormal researchers flocked to 30 East Drive, drawn by the incredible claims. The public was gripped by a morbid fascination, debating the true nature of the events. Was it a hoax, a psychological phenomenon, or genuine supernatural activity? The psychological toll on the Pritchard family was immense and enduring. Their lives were utterly consumed by fear and constant torment. Sleep became a luxury, their sense of safety annihilated. Diane, in particular, was deeply traumatized by the physical assaults. The family was forced to live in a state of perpetual vigilance, trapped in a house that seemed actively determined to destroy them. They eventually moved from the infamous property, seeking refuge from the relentless terror. But the legacy of the Black Monk would forever mark their lives. What truly haunted 30 East Drive in Pontefract, dear listeners? Was it the tormented spirit of a medieval monk, forever bound to the site of his unjust execution, his rage and misery manifesting as violent poltergeist activity? Or was the violence, the malevolence, and the persistent terror a sign of something far older, far more corrupt, a powerful, malevolent, demonic presence that simply adopted the guise of a monk to terrify and deceive? The terrifying implication is that unseen forces can be capable of not just subtle disturbances, but of profound physical violence, twisting the very fabric of a home into a battleground for human souls. The case of the Black Monk of Pontefract stands as a chilling reminder that sometimes the whispers in the dark are not just echoes of the past, but the active, malevolent will of something truly evil. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder, good night.